Explore Messiah with Sadaka Ministries seeks to be a place where anyone and everyone can ask the difficult questions of life. Some of these questions touch at the heart of your soul, some of them touch at the heart of your mind, but all of them deserve an answer. Hi, my name is Amy Downey, and I'm the CEO and president of Sadaka Ministries. Join with us today as we seek to answer another of the tough questions of life. Shalom from Explore Messiah with Sadaka Ministries. We have had an interesting few days in America, have we not? Here we were thinking that everything was calming down. COVID cases were decreasing in the USA, somewhat. Some people were watching the USFL. I wasn't, but some people were. And some people were watching the NHL and the NBA playoffs. The national time of baseball has begun and spring has arrived. Then a volcanic eruption of political proportions came out of Washington, D.C. last week. Someone, and we still do not know who as of May 10th, leaked what appears to be the majority draft opinion over the Mississippi case Dobbs v. Jackson's Women's Health Organization, written by Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, which could quite possibly change or even overturn Roe v. Wade 1973. Please understand that the Mississippi decision will not outlaw abortion nationwide if the draft stands, but it will return the legal issue of abortion back to the states for each state, individual state, to decide. And that is really an important issue. Roe v. Wade, if it is overturned, will not overturn abortion nationwide, but it will allow each state to decide on the issue of abortion for individually. New York will decide individually. North Dakota will decide individually. Therefore, you can imagine that states which are considered red states would be more likely to consider limiting access to abortion, while states that are quote-unquote blue states would not. For example, many states, and that includes the state which I used to live in, Texas, have on their books an automatic feature which would outlaw abortion immediately if Roe v. Wade was changed or overturned. However, California, a blue state, is considering a bill entitled CAAB 2223. Let me repeat that. CAAB 2223. In which Section 7 of the bill would allow for what is called perinatal death, up to and including 28 days after the child is born. If you question whether I am correct with this statement, I encourage you to both look up the bill yourself and read Section 7. So again, I'm going to state the name and number of the bill, CAAB 2223, because I want you to verify it for yourself, not just believe me. And then go and look up the definition of the term perinatal. For I looked up the bill and the definition of perinatal myself when the California bill was mentioned to me, for I could hardly believe it when someone told me about perinatal death and CAAB 2223. So what are we to do as people of faith? That was the first question that came to my mind when I heard that Roe v. Wade might be changed or overturned. What am I, or what is the DACA Ministries to do as someone who seeks to reach out to Jewish people who by and large are pro-choice? In fact, a 2015 Pew Research poll states that 83% of Jewish people, that includes everyone from Reform and Reconstruction to Orthodox, are pro-choice and outlaw and outlook and perspective. How do we and should we respond if Roe v. Wade is changed or overturned by the decision of Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health Organization? So I have seen how others are suggesting that we respond. I have seen the responses on social media, and I have seen the current comments and debates about winsomeness versus acrimony among evangelicals related to this issue. I also know what 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 tells us. And I'm going to read 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 for us today. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And the next four words are key. With meekness and fear, and some versions, give the words with gentleness and fear. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Now, those are interesting words. Be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness or gentleness and fear. And then verse 16, having a good conscience. And if I could summarize these two verses, and I always did for my speech students at the college that I taught at for 5 years, it would be simply this simple thought. If I seek to only win the battle, i.e. argument, debate, at the possible expense of a person's eternal soul, then you have lost the war. Let me repeat that. If you seek to only win the battle, i.e. argument, debate, at the possible expense of a person's eternal soul, then you have lost the war. In other words, don't win an argument, but lose the chance to share the gospel. Because, you see, I personally am pro-life. And I have been asked by those 83% of Jewish people the question, quote unquote, and I have been honest with them. By the way, they respect me for my transparency and my honesty, but my willingness, and this is the key, to approach them with an open heart and a listening ear. And because I have been honest and transparent about my pro-life position, but I also have approached them and been honest, but I also have had an open heart and a listening ear to their perspective, the door has been open to have a gospel conversation with them. Because I did not come at them as if they were murderers, quote unquote, or baby killers, quote unquote. And today I would not approach them with recriminations or even with the New Testament, but with the passages from the Hebrew scriptures that I believe they have overlooked. And those passages that we both consider from different perspectives, such as Exodus 21. Because we look at Exodus 21 from different perspectives, from a different view. They need to know that there is a better way and a real truth, and his name is Messiah Jesus. And while I could spend the entire podcast debunking the arguments of rabbinic modern Judaism, and perhaps I should and could on another podcast episode. The ultimate answer to those on the quote-unquote other side is back to 1 Peter 3:15-16, is kindness and love and gentleness, as I believe that is what Jesus would and did show. Because if you seek to only win the battle at the possible expense of a person's eternal soul, then you've lost the war. The two greatest examples of this are the Samaritan woman in John 4 and to the woman caught in adultery in John 8. Jesus never excused their past actions. In fact, Jesus acknowledged them and even pointed them out to the Samaritan woman. All he wanted them to do after receiving forgiveness was to go and sin no more, as he told the woman caught in adultery. Jesus's greatest acrimony was to those who thought they were above sin and condemnation. And that was when he pulled out the whip, like he did at the temple, and lashed out in verbal anger. But those who were blind to their sin, Jesus's compassion was on full display. Ours should be as well. For my phone rang. Ours should be as well. For while I do believe that abortion is the taking of a life, and I do, I believe the life of the woman who made that tragic choice must not be sacrificed on the altar of our smug, self-righteous satisfaction. Let me say that again. For while I believe that abortion is the taking of a life, I believe the life of the woman who made that tragic choice must not be sacrificed on the altar of our smug, self-righteous satisfaction, because that is our sin. For if it is, how will she ever find Jesus? There is so much more I could and should say on this issue, but I am speaking today and I am writing today from my heart. And for now, that is enough. Until next time, this is Amy Downey, the president of Tzedakah Ministries. And this has been Explore Messiah with Tzedakah Ministries. Shalom and God bless.